Thank you and welcome. I'm Father Mitch Packwell. Welcome to EWTN Live, where we bring you guests from around the world. Tonight, we didn't have to go quite that far. We'll hear from a group of guys called the Monday Night Disciples. This is a men's prayer group that got its start in New Orleans, Louisiana, almost 40 years ago. And on top of being a vibrant prayer group, they're working on a great ministry to bring dignity and much needed consolation to grieving families. Here to tell us more about it, please welcome our guests, Mr. Les Madier, Carl Credure, and a great friend of the network and one of my own is Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, welcome. It's good to have you all here.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Y'all drove up from New Orleans, right?
We did.
Good, good. So are all three of you part of this prayer group on Monday nights?
Yes.
Yes.
How long have you been in?
For about 6 years now.
6 years and?
Same, 2019.
Same. Mm-hmm. And Danny, you were?
40 years.
40 years.
Almost, like you said.
He's sort of like the grandpa, ain't he?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's good, good. Now, what kind of prayer group is this? What got these guys started praying together?
But when I turned my life around, you know, went to AA first. I had a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord took me to, he said, you need to get your life in order a little bit. And then he sent me to a place I'd never dreamed, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were all crazy, but they all had a smile on their face, and I had a frown on my face. I said, I want what they got. So I stayed there with that group, and we formed a group at my house. Watch this. My wife had to give me permission. I had invited 12 guys to my house. The Lord said, I want you to start a prayer group at your house. I said, what? I thought I was dreaming. So finally, I invited the guys come there, and about six of them I knew, the other guys I didn't know. We didn't know what to do. I didn't know, let's say a prayer, Our Father, Hail Mary. And then someone said, we need to get some music. One guy said, I got a guitar. Next time he came back, we used to meet every first and third Monday. And then the charism that we took, or what we really as a group started doing, guys started sharing about their life. Things, ups and downs of just personal life,
mm-hmm.
and tying faith into it. And we singing and praised the Lord to begin with. Within 6 months, we had like 30 guys. Within a year, we had 90 guys coming at my house every first and third Monday. And it just started growing from there. And we just did all kind of things, but we've been meeting. To this very day, we average probably, 35 or 40 guys every Monday night. So
I think even just that start is a very important element that, you know, guys need to support each other,
yeah.
especially in the present culture where there's a lot of confusion and about morals, about being a good Catholic, about being a committed Christian, and being an honorable man. That's not... You don't see Hollywood presenting very many honorable men as role models. So we just have to take care of this ourselves. What drew you all to this prayer?
Well, I'm in St. Anne Parish in Metairie, which is a suburb of New Orleans. And a friend of mine, Larry Bush, I knew he was involved in the ministry of making these little caskets. And so I was getting kind of close to retiring and looking for something to do, something worthwhile, a good project. So I asked him, do you ever need help? And he said, yeah. He says, but you need to come join the Monday Night Disciples. So he invited me to a meeting. And, our friend Joe Catt, who leads our meetings, you know, he said, you got to come to three meetings. That first meeting, I had never experience a men's prayer group like that, and
yeah.
It was honestly a little over the top for me. wasn't expecting it, but by the third meeting, I was hooked.
Has it been helpful to you?
Absolutely, yeah. Because I've learned a lot. You know how to really find a deeper faith, you know, level of faith, and I learn a lot from the guys in the group. You know. how they, you know, about how they go about their faith. And so it's just been a great learning experience.
And you're also part of the group?
Yes, I live in Houma, about an hour away from New Orleans. And about 6 years ago, my grandson was was doing his first communion. And I got to the church a little early, and there was a magazine there called the Bayou Catholic. And they had an article in there about labor of love, woodworking. And all my life I've done woodworking. And I was building furniture, and I had a website and doing things. And I told my wife, I said, I'd like to do this. I think I could do this. So it was on a Saturday. So Monday she coached me. She says, are you going to call those people before that thought gets cold? So I called Mr. Sampe, and he said, we have a meeting Friday. So I went, and I went particularly for the caskets, but then wound up being part of the Monday Night Disciples. And it's been a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a group of brothers that just I enjoy being with. The casket part, it's like going fishing with a bunch of guys, that's the main goal. Catching fish is an extra thing. Being in Monday Monday Night Disciples is the faith strength of me. Mm-hmm. And then the caskets are the love of a hobby that I do on the side, too.
Now, you both have brought up one of the things that we wanted to talk about. I think understanding the importance of prayer life as a center, you know, for everybody's lives in it. I think that's key, you know, yes. And we need a lot more smaller groups in these large parishes, because Sunday you don't get to know everybody, and you don't get to know many people in your big parish mass well,
right.
But having these smaller groups that then come together on Sunday is a healthy thing, I think.
You know, Father, I've been involved with men's ministry for over 40 years, and I found the most powerful thing, you know, you have conferences and you have retreats, all these things. We had Crossing the Goal was a show, but one thing to mention, if you don't have a small group component, the conference is going to be good, the retreat's going to be good. What happens the following Thursday? Is it business as usual, back to the same old, same old? Mm-hmm. And I think the small accountability groups really carry on, and you get to learn, like each one of these guys, what we've learned. Every guy that has been involved with the Monday Night Disciples came from a tap. Like Jesus tapped each one, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, mm-hmm. all those guys. In the Monday Night Disciples, it's tap. Why don't you come and see? Then once they come through the door, the Holy Spirit takes over.
Yep.
And then we start sharing, and they say, that's why we say, come three times. Because like he said, this is not me. Well, just keep coming. Then the third time it says, he hears someone start sharing things that he'd never heard out here in the public, what the Lord has meant in my life, how it's changed me as a
right.
man, as a husband, as a father. So these are the kind of things I believe in, and yeah. that's why it's lasted so long.
I think that's a really essential thing for folks today. But now a lot of the members of your group are involved in something called All God's Babies. And I'd like to show, first of all, a little clip about that work, and then we'll discuss it. So let's take a look at that clip.
In the backyard of a house just outside of New Orleans, Maria Payne volunteers her time lining wooden boxes with fabric that comes from donated wedding dresses.
My daughter-in-law went into labor, and then her supervisor called me and told me that she was being sent to the hospital by ambulance because she had passed out. And later on, she called me crying, and she said, my baby is dead. I said, what do you mean? Well, they can't get a heartbeat on her. She's gone. Sadly, Skylar passed away in her mom's womb. When I got there, they handed the baby over to me. And so I held her for like 15, 20 minutes. We didn't have any plans for funeral. We didn't have anything. The only money I had at that time was when I went to Kmart and returned the crib. We didn't have means for a burial. Thinking about donating her body to the hospital, because the hospital offered that they would take it. But like I explained to my son, I said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, well, Mama, we don't have any money. I said, I understand. But something is going to happen. We're going to, we It's gonna happen. She's gotta go like what she is, a little queen. The next day, I came to work. I was like lost, poor words.
Maria works full time for Mr. Don Sampi.
She was beside herself, crying.
And I asked him, I said, Mr. Don, do you think that you can build a casket for me? He looked at me and said, Maria, I don't think so. I don't know about that. We're talking about wood.
Maria, I really don't know anything about woodworking.
I said, I've seen you work, and I've got a feeling that you could do it.
The good Lord put into me, say yes. So I said yes. I didn't have enough tools to cut wood, much less knowing how to cut a good angle. Did cut one, it looked awful.
I had faith in him.
For assistance, I called guys that I was in the prayer group, and they came on board.
The men from Don's prayer group, the Monday Night Disciples, successfully assembled a respectable casket, secured a burial site, and organized a proper funeral.
They were there for me. I will never forget that.
After the funeral, an unsettling thought nagged at Don. It was the sad reality that Maria's situation was not unique.
Somebody has to take care of these babies. If babies are left unclaimed, they wind up in medical waste. We weren't considering about all the other babies that we weren't going after to try to assist. And that's why All God's Babies came out. And that's when the organization was founded.
This is really powerful work. And first, I want to let people know that if you want to find out more information besides what we talk about, you can simply go to their website, allgodsbabies.org. But you all, were you part of the prayer group at the, yeah, you must have been part of it when Mr. Sampi started this to make a casket for that first baby.
Well, I was with, when she approached Dawn, I was there with him, and she says, can you make the casket? How could Dawn look, he looked at me and he looked at her, how could he say no? He said yes. And then when she left, we said, wonder how we're gonna do this, Dawn? He said, we'll figure out some kind of way. I said, I guess so. So I don't know, I can't drive a nail in straight, so these guys know what to do, but here you are. We've buried over 500 since then, the last 7 or 8 years. And it's a work of God. There's no doubt, but the prayer group was the instrument and touched these men's hearts, all of our hearts, to do something like this and step out. And for our prayers, this is what happens, a project like this. And look what the Holy Spirit, they showed the tomb in there. We have a tomb there. The archdiocese involved. They gave us the property, and we build a mausoleum on. That's where we bury them at. So these guys can give you the details about the nuts and bolts, but that's how we do it.
We can bury about 400 babies in our tomb.
Okay, so you've got and see,
and it's free, and it's all free. You know.
Yeah. In New Orleans, a lot of folks may not realize, but you have to bury above ground because the water table is so high.
Yes.
You know, especially down in New Orleans Parish. And so, you know, this is a very important thing. So you see mausoleums above ground all over all the cemeteries, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, and if there's bad flooding, it makes a mess.
Not every family that comes to us for a casket needs a place for burial. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. If they do, then we provide that space. If they don't, they just take our casket and maybe they put it in their family tomb,
wherever that might be. Yeah, yeah. But that's one of the things, I've come across this in my own time as a priest, where families lost babies, they were miscarriages, or that they died in the womb and had to be extracted. A lot of the cemeteries wouldn't even allow them to bury their babies. So I don't know, do you come across some of that? And yet alone have caskets that are the proper size for a baby or a small child.
We get, we're involved with in Houma, a couple of hospitals, and we've met with them, with the birthing department. And occasionally, the nurse will call us and say, look, We have a mother fixing to deliver a stillborn, and she can't afford a casket. She says to reach out to us. We get the name, the gestation of the baby, or the length, and then we provide them with a casket. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I deliver it to the hospital. Sometimes I deliver it to the funeral home. Mm-hmm. And as Les said, not all of them go into a tomb. You know, some of them have their own place that they want to bring their loved one.
Yeah, 'cause some of the families have, you know, these mausoleums from long time back, if they're old families. And so you make these for them. And again, a lot of people can't even find such a thing. I knew one poor couple, all they could do was put them in a cigar box. That's all they could find. You know, they were tiny twins. So, you know, this is a great gift. What reaction, one other thing too about this, almost forgot. You line them like people line the inside of coffins for adults, but what do you use to line them with?
We have people who donate wedding dresses, and we have ladies who sew the linings in. We also have ladies who make dresses and gowns for the babies to give them a proper burial rather than just stick them in a little sack and put them in the coffin. See, a lot of funeral homes, they do offer small caskets, but they have one size. We offer four different sizes depending on the length of the baby, because mm-hmm. you can get a baby that's 20 weeks, you can get one that's 40 weeks. We go all the way up to 2 years old, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So, in Louisiana, there's a law. If you're over 20 weeks, you have to go to a funeral home. Mm-hmm. If it's under 20 weeks, let's say you have a 12-week-old miscarriage or something, they can give the fetus to the mother. Mm-hmm. But over 20 weeks, you have to go to a funeral home. Mm-hmm. So that creates an issue for some people.
Sure, and part of it is a financial.
Correct. Like
most people who have to deal with death know that funerals are very expensive, you know, in some places more than others, you know. So that's one of the reasons I think a lot of people get cremated. They can't barely afford a regular burial, so they get cremated. So that becomes not so unusual, but this seems to be something that helps the families quite a bit more than financially.
And another thing we provide, which is amazing, we have the caskets, but a lot of them don't, a funeral, they don't know what to do. We arrange the whole thing, including the music. We can find a priest, a minister. They don't have to be Catholic. It doesn't matter what the child is.
Yes.
And every casket has a name on it. With dignity, no matter what the child, male, female, whatever it is, Protestant, Catholic, whatever, it doesn't matter to us. But our Monday Night Disciple group, our music ministry, and the guys get involved, we get down and do the, we'll arrange a priest or a deacon or find a Protestant minister, whatever they want, we'll mm-hmm. do that. And then they have the burial service and we parade over, let them carry the casket to the mausoleum and place it in. It's very moving, and they're so thankful for us to do that.
I think this is extra important when you think about the way people who are ideologues, you know, they have this ideology about abortion, and I think they're as much trying to convince themselves as everybody else, that's just a bunch of cells. It's just a blob of cells. You see these children. They're not a blob of cells, are they? They have fingerprints. They have all their toes and their hands, their eyes and ears. And they're fully formed, just not grown up yet.
Right.
And you can see that when you bring them in for burial.
We see the parents of the children also.
That's
we see,
and the grandparents.
And the grandparents, and mm-hmm. see how grateful they are. They just can't thank us enough, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a residual benefit to the whole family.
Well,
this.
See, That's one of the things about, that's why I mentioned this. You recognizing the inherent dignity of this child that died. And by doing that, you're also recognizing the inherent dignity of that child's parents and the rest of the family.
Right.
Everybody is lifted up by respect for their family member who died, even if it's a very small child. And that seems to be part of the gratitude.
Right, as you know, as Catholics, every fetus has a soul.
Yeah.
And that soul needs to be treated with the dignity.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any particular, and you've had how many now?
Over 500 since we started.
And what year did you start?
About 2017.
Uh-huh. Okay. So just in the last eight years?
It's a fairly new ministry.
Yeah, 8-9 years, 500 children and families that you've helped. Were there any particular stories that stuck out that you can remember some families?
Well, actually, just recently, there was a young man. He actually went to Jesuit High School in New Orleans. I think he was the same age as my youngest, and his wife, you know, they lost a baby, and so we provided a casket and a place, and they chose to bury the baby in our All God's Baby tomb. And then this was a Friday morning when we had the service. Mm-hmm. And fast forward Monday morning, I'm walking out of morning mass, and somebody on the way out of mass, somebody grasped my arm. It was the grandfather of uh-huh. this child that had passed away. And I didn't know him before that, uh-huh. but since then we've gotten to be friends, and now we talk all the time, and it's, you know, and he was so thankful for what we did, and mm-hmm. so that was one of the few stories that, you know, we just provide the casket, and they come pick it up, and you know, they have a funeral, their own funeral, so we're not always, you know, there to mm-hmm. see the people.
Sure, yeah,
but once in a while, you know, when we can do the whole service, you know, provide the casket and put the child in our tomb, then that's kind of, you know, that's a little special, you know.
One of the most moving ones was, this was recently, when we came to the tomb, and we were ready to do the funeral, the people, it was Vietnamese people, were all dressed very nice in black suits and dresses and stuff like that. And had the coffin there. They bring the coffin, the family sits down, and we start singing the songs, and then we're going to march over to the tomb. They marched over, very moving. It's a very moving moment when the mother or the father carries a child and everyone walks behind, and we're singing beautiful songs all the time. And then it must have been the grandmother. She was really over. They had to sort of pick her up and carry her and sit her down. And then when they put that child in there, and the priest was praying with them and consoling them. And what happens a lot of time, the children, I think you guys see it, when they put their little dolls and stuff on the front of the mausoleum, which is tremendous. And these people were so thankful. The funeral was over with, guess what? They come out with all the food for all of us. They had food and stuff like that. It was a very moving, and they thanked us so much for that.
Yeah. See, that this is something that I think we also live in a culture that I don't think always gives respect to the dead. You know, that, you know, this is, I like to talk about the most important moment of anybody's existence is the moment of your conception. That's when you begin. Your soul is given to you by God. He creates a soul in your mother's womb, and you start. But then the second most important moment of life is the moment you die. That's, I like to think about how in this life, you know, the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah described us as clay in the hands of a potter. Either we try to form ourselves, which is not so good.
That don't work.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Or you let the culture form you, and they're going to do it for their own good, not your good. They don't care about you. Or you let the devil form you, and he'll make you something hideous. Or you let God form you in his image and likeness. That's the choices. And at death, the clay gets fired. That's when you can't change anymore. You know, it might get off some of the rough edges. That's purgatory. But apart from those rough edges, at the moment of death, that's what you'll be forever. And this is a way to help express the dignity, especially of these little kids who haven't committed any sins. God willing that the Lord takes them to himself. This is a very important moment for these families to help own that up in a culture that, you know, shows people getting killed all the time, and real terrorists kill people, and murderers kill people, drugs kill, and it's just not even dealt with. Y'all are doing something very important, very important. And in terms of some of this, the various families, you know, do they ever join you in this ministry? Ever, you know, after they've been helped, do they ever help some of the other families?
Well, the one gentleman that I was speaking about that in my parish, he joined my Knights of Columbus Council.
Oh, good for you.
So he did. He's a great, great guy. But I don't know that anybody has done that.
The families haven't. Here's one of the big, I think this show's so important, and what we do, this ministry, is if it worked here, this is so unique. That's why pictures tell the story. It's hard when you make caskets. We started out by making caskets in the backyards of guys had workshops. Now we have our headquarters at a place where we can assemble. These guys can tell you a little bit about that. But what we want to do from this show is, guys out there, when they see this kind of stuff, that we're open. What we want to do, what about the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, Archdiocese of Chicago? You mean to tell me the same thing? We'll show you how to do this, and what a rewarding thing this has been for our groups. We participate as a community. We work together. And I said, in our prayer group, I remember it was about a year or so ago, I said, how many of you guys here 5 years ago would think you'd be making caskets for everyone start laughing, said, we don't. But what's happened is, it's really bonded us together, and you get much more familiar. We're not about I, we're about we. We step out and help other people. More gratification, way more gratification, when we see what we accomplish by helping these people, stepping out of ourselves, maybe some inconvenience or whatever it is, but what a blessing at a time that they need love and attention, and we provide that. So we're asking guys out there, Knights of Columbus, anyone, men out there, come help. We'll show you. You come to New Orleans, we'll show you how to do it. These guys will know all that kind of stuff. I'll be involved in some kind of way, but these guys know the construction and all that kind of stuff. And Don is tremendous. Our whole group is, but we need guys to step forward.
It's a fraternity of men getting together, doing something really good. You know, so and I mean, we work together for hours and hours and hours, and you really get to know each other. You know,
sure.
So we have
sure.
gotten really close with one another, and you can I can rely on, and we're really, I think, working for a higher purpose.
Carl, tell what the big benefit on Wednesday. What do we do?
Oh yeah.
We have a designated culinary guy.
Yeah.
And he cooks for us. So we go kind of like, it's not the Last Supper, it's the First Supper. We pay, well, I think a lot of guys come for the food more than they come for the woodwork.
There's always food going to be
involved. There's always food. Everything's centered around food.
Yeah, but you already told me that you're in New Orleans, so of course there's always food. And good food at that.
Right.
That's a great place. Gentlemen, we have to take a little break. We're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this, and maybe some of you all out there will have an idea of what can be done in your local area, not only the big dioceses, but small towns and other places where men can get together and work with some of the ladies to do something that just shows dignity and helps people in a very, very needy moment. Please stay with us, and we'll be back with you all in a minute. Welcome back. We've been talking about the Monday Night Disciples Men's Prayer Group. And this group meets on Monday night down in New Orleans. But if you want to learn more about starting your own prayer group, and it doesn't have to be on Monday night, but you can find out more about what they're doing and how this is also building up the faith life of this group of men, just go to MondayNightDisciples.org, MondayNightDisciples.org. And also, if you want to learn more about this ministry of All God's Babies that came out of that Monday Night Prayer Group, just go to that website. It's a distinct website, but it's an important one. Called allgodsbabies.org, allgodsbabies.org, and find out more about what they do. You ready for some questions?
Yes, sir.
Giddy up. Let's start off with this lady. Ma'am, where are you from?
From Lutz, Florida, near Tampa.
Good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Father. It's great to be here.
And what's your question?
First of all, thank you, gentlemen. It's a great ministry. I know God's already blessed you richly. How do you get your earthly riches to continue your ministry? How are you funded?
That's a good question. My wife passed away a couple years ago, and I thought 40 years, 56 years of marriage, I was over with my ministry type stuff. And about 3 weeks later, all my kids were gone, grandkids were gone, and I was in adoration. The Lord says, I'm not done with you yet. I said, oh man, what's up? So I ended up starting a donor-advised fund in my wife's name and the family, start raising money. And one of the main ministries, two ministries we do, is one is All God's Babies, and the other one is Echo Community, which is young adults up from 20 years up to about 38. The NONES, these are the ones that are leaving the church, to try to bring them back. So we've got that. But the funds come from generous people like y'all that help us raise the funds and do the things we do.
Yeah. So there are, you set up sort of one of these not-for-profit.
Yes.
Charity.
You have to give them, when it's a donor advised fund, you have to give to a 501c3 nonprofit. We're a nonprofit.
Right.
Then the funds are taken from my wife's fund and transported into the All God's Babies or Monday Night Disciples or Echo Community. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we watch, because these guys will tell you the equipment that we have. We started off very rugged equipment, but they got all power tools and all this kind of stuff, and there's generous donations. Why don't you tell them about the wooden stuff?
So we We get a lot of support from the Knights of Columbus, both on the state level mm-hmm. and the local councils in our area.
And you and just so, mentioned before that you're a knight yourself.
I am at St. Anne Parish.
Right, right. So that's also a good group. You know, Knights of Columbus are very, very generous group
they
of
are.
Catholic men all over the world.
Right, they are. So we're able to tap into the different councils for support, and that's been a great help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple ways to get some of that funding and private raising, and then
and we also get a lot of the wood that we use to build the caskets comes from local lumber yards that donate wood. So the wood is not a huge expense for us. Gaydon Lumber in Metairie, they've been around for many, many years. They donate. They're extremely generous. They give us wood to make the caskets. They give us a lot of cypress, beautiful cypress wood.
Well, and y'all have some just terrific cypress trees down there. So that's a very nice wood, and it's good for a casket because I think it resists a good deal of insects and other things. So it'll be kind of solid.
You know, one of the things too is we just don't do stillborn and aborted babies. We do, in fact, grandparents of some of the Monday Night Disciples have had grandchildren passed away at up to 2 years old. We've buried mm-hmm. all kind of different people have come to us. It doesn't have to be indigent it's all God's babies. That's why we call
right.
it all God's
You're
babies.
Not-
And then some people are so touched, especially if there's somebody that has the wherewithal. We don't ask for any money or anything, but they give us donations.
Mm-hmm.
So those individual donors, when someone's touched and see this, that's why the video is so important. When you see that, it's hard to explain. You make caskets and you bury these. I didn't even realize that this took place. And then once you see it and the gratification comes and people see with this, they're open to help us, and we watch what we do. We're not spendthrifts. We're very careful what we do things. And Carl is the expert here on showing us how to do the construction part. Not mm-hmm. me, these guys.
Right, right. But you help out with the fundraising. They get the woodwork.
Yeah.
That's how the church works.
Yep.
Not everybody has all the gifts, but everybody together has the gifts. You know, and so just working together makes the body of Christ work with its different parts.
And then we might put a call out for wedding dresses, because we use only pure white wedding dresses to do the linings of the little caskets. And so we might put a message in the parish bulletin, and all of a sudden we've had dozens and dozens of people bringing wedding dresses that they have stored for, 20, 30, 40 years in a closet.
Sure.
So they're happy that it's
being used
for a great purpose.
We have another question from our studio audience. Sir, where are you from?
I'm from Lutz, Florida, just outside of Tampa, with that pretty lady that
I see. So you're her faithful sidekick?
I'm her driver.
So what's your question?
I wish I had known about the cypress need. We had two hurricanes come through Florida. We had cypress laying all over the place. I could have brought some up here. But the question I have is about the wedding dresses. I know that you mentioned that they're donated by women for this ministry. And it's a great, great, lovely ministry of mercy that you provide, but I was wondering about their stories, their testimony. That a wedding dress is quite an emotional attachment that women have. Do they have anything that they testify to as to why they participate in this type of ministry?
I didn't hear the
question. Yeah. So the question is, when some when women donate their wedding dresses, normally that's something that's is very important for a woman, to have that wedding dress, and yet they donate. What are some of the reactions you have, or what motivates some of these ladies to give their wedding dresses so you can make the linings?
Well, this will be a plug for EWTN. We were on EWTN a couple of years ago, and we got a flood of wedding dresses. And I think a lot of us, I gave my wife's wedding dress. I can't, what am I going to do with my wife's wedding dress?
Yeah, right.
So we gave gave it in here, and these women start sewing. And when the women hear about this, they want to get involved. And I'm telling them, get your husband involved too out here and help us. You don't have to be a carpenter to do this. These guys can tell you. We need other hands involved. We'll do some of the technical. I won't. These guys will do technical stuff. But the other stuff, we just need helping hands. Mm-hmm.
There is an emotional attachment to their wedding dress. But when they find what we're doing, I think that trumps what their emotional attachment is, that mm-hmm. it can be used for something even right. better.
Yeah, it's in some ways it seems that they might find it more meaningful than staying in a closet.
Exactly.
You know, it's sometimes they want to give it to their daughters, but not always, and they don't know what else to do with it. You know, they don't usually wear it again. So this would be a use that really touches the women who lost a child. And that's important too. I think a lot of women would be very moved by that as well. So yeah, it's a powerful thing. I think, you know, it's something that you're doing that would, again, very much would be worth folks considering throughout the country, because it's not only helping out these kids, you know, and the families to as they deal with a death, but it really is something that helps elevate human dignity all over. We need to get people to have a stronger sense of that dignity and make it a cult. Like Pope St. John Paul said, we need to create a culture of life.
Right.
Even in the midst of the inevitability of death, you can do this that in such a way that shows great dignity. And then, you know, I'm sure that you see this with the folks that you meet. You know, a funeral is important. You know, not for the funeral business. I mean, there's that goes on, but I think what most funeral directors do, their mission is to have a sense of helping people put closure to something they can't control. They can't control death. You know,
right.
that's not our doing. That's God's, you know, ultimate decision. And you know, we don't always understand it, and somehow closure has to come, especially with the death of a child.
I think the dignity, this man has a story of how he got involved from what he was a very successful business. Tell him and how you got involved and what made you the dignity of a person.
Well, I was always in wood, always did woodworking, and I retired about 12 years ago and had a big shop and built furniture. And going back, like I said earlier, I went to a First Communion of my grandson, and there was an article in a church magazine about, and it was from New Orleans, about people building caskets. And I said, woodwork, you know, anything with wood perks my ears up. So I said, I think I could get into this. And it was on a Saturday, and then I just put the magazine down. And Monday, my wife said, are you going to call that guy? You all excited about it Saturday. I said, she says, you gonna let it get cold? I said, no. So I called him, Mr. Donald Sampe. He said, we'll meet on Friday, come over here Friday. And I'll never forget, Larry was there, and I went in, and they were just making just square boxes. And I built furniture. So I said, well, I could improve on this. We can make it look like a real expensive casket. So he said, here, take a few sheets of plywood with you and see what you can do with it. So went home and right away got on and probably stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning making caskets. Went back next Friday and showed them, oh man, we really like that, y'all. You can be the guy to make the caskets then. And we started out, we had about 9 or 10 different sizes. And just recently, a year ago, we narrowed it down to 4 because we were like 9 inches, 10 and a half, 11, 12. You don't need that. So now we have a 11 inch, an 18 inch, a 28 inch, and a 38 inch. And if you look at the spectrum of length and ages of children, that covers all the way to 2 years old. Mm-hmm. So it also reduces our inventory and improves our efficiency also.
Mm-hmm. And what would you do with the commercial, that money-making business?
Well, I had a website. I was building tables and furniture and all. And I just cut all that off, and I said, I'm going to spend all my time with this. And I love it. I love getting with these guys. We meet on Wednesdays and then also Monday nights with the Monday Night Disciples. And then I have a big shop in the back of my home. So that affords me, if I want to get out there at 6 in the morning and work, or if I want to get out there at 9 at night and work, I can, mm-hmm. you see. And then I still assist these guys. And then they'll come over to my house at times, and we'll have 4 or 5 guys come, and we'll work there. And we get in a system where I do all the cutting, and then we bring it over to the main shop. They do some assembling, and then I make tops and make handles and different parts and all, you know. So we got a system going. It's getting more and more refined.
Uh-huh. So you've learned a lot. That may be helpful for anybody who does want to start this kind of ministry. They can learn from the patterns that you've developed and the system that you have, so they don't have to, you know, reinvent the whole wheel.
Right.
Yeah. But get down and use some of this experience and design and you know, the kind of that cleverness that comes from lots more of experience. I mean, you've made 500 caskets, right?
Correct.
So yeah, so this will give you some good experience.
There's a group in the Dallas area that came down, saw what we were doing, found out what we were doing, came down, mm-hmm. and we sent them back with some ones that we cut to get them started and some patterns, and they're starting to make little caskets in their area. And there's a group in Baton Rouge that are also starting to build them.
Nice.
So our goal is to let the word spread, and hopefully in other areas and parts of the country, people will step up and say, yeah, I can do this. It's a great use of your time.
Les, tell them about, since you're with the Knights, how the Knights are involved, Knights on Bikes.
Yeah, so people said, well, how do you transport them? So there's a group, Knights on Bikes. We'll call them, and they'll come pick up the casket. They'll strap it on the back of their bike, and depending on where
it goes.
Is this
a bicycle or motorcycle?
It's motorcycles.
Okay.
Knights on Bikes. It's a group of Knights of Columbus that ride. They're motorcycle enthusiasts. And depending on where it goes, when we've sent them to Houston, somebody will take it to Baton Rouge. Somebody, you know, it's like the old Pony Express. So somebody will pick it up in Baton Rouge, maybe go to Lafayette, to the state line, and somebody in Houston on the Texas line will pick it up, take it the rest of the way. So so we have a kind of a network where we can go east, west, north. Can't go much, a little bit south, but not too far south.
No, that's the Gulf.
Yeah.
are they changing that name down there? I don't know if they've changed that yet down there. I think we're just going to call it the Gulf.
Yeah, we'll call it the Gulf.
We'll be happy with that.
You know, another thing is, Les was talking about sharing and showing other people how to do it. It's not a franchise that we're trying to create. We're willing to show you what we do. If there's some tweaks you want to make to it, some way you want to change it, if you want to put diamonds on it, that's up to you. I mean, we'll just say, this is what we did, and this is how we started out, and we'd love to share that, because every community, every hospital has miscarriages, stillbirths, and there's deaths
of
children.
Yes,
so,
that's for
there's
sure.
Tons of them out there.
And I'll bet, you know, part of this would also be the situation of making contact with the hospitals so that they, you know, have a sense that we know whom to call.
And that we are, we have some literature now that we've printed, and we, you know, every hospital has a resource center, so they're actually coming to us now.
Oh, good.
And so, yes, we have made some great, and you know, strides to get into the hospitals in our area.
That's excellent.
And Carl's done a great job in Houma, the hospitals in Houma. He's, you know,
we went to the hospitals, to the birthing department. I mean, there's a whole department called birthing department, and they know when a lady's fixing a miscarriage. They know when it's a stillbirth, and we give them the forms. They email the form to us with all the name and everything, and then they'll tell us what funeral home, and then we'll produce the caskets already produced. We'll just put the name on them, and then we'll deliver it to the funeral home, or if they want to come pick it up, or I brought them to the hospital at times, you know.
Yeah, that's again, it's a type of service, and I'm sure again, a lot of folks, you know, obviously in our throughout our country, we hear it all the time. They're not going to church, and when it comes to funerals, they don't oftentimes know what to do. You know, I remember one family that didn't have any kind of church experience. They just had no idea what to do. The nice thing about religious funerals is that you've got certain things that go on automatic. You don't have to think about certain elements. We have the prayer set, you know, we pray these scripture passages, and we, you know how to bless the body and the casket. And there's something that, you know, when people are grieving, they kind of need to go into automatic, because, you know, they just don't know how to think through. They're overwhelmed with grief very frequently. Right. This is the kind of thing where you also are helping them out to find that minister or priest or rabbi, whoever, that may be able to help them work through that grieving process by following a liturgical form. And that's very, very useful.
And one big thing too with this is our partnership with the Archdiocese. You know, excuse us, they gave us the land for the mausoleum. And then we end up raising the money and built the mausoleum itself. Plus, they're letting people know about this is out there for you.
Yes.
And then the parishes now are finding out. The different Hispanic groups and different groups are coming to us and saying, I heard about you. Do you do this? Apply the service. And we have a form. They can come on our website and get the information, and we'll take it from point A to point all the way through, and that relieves a lot of pressure. Like
exactly.
That lady at the beginning said, she didn't know what to do. They had no money, didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
child.
Yeah, that's just not unusual.
I know.
And again, it's just helping people go into that automatic mode of praying when they would have no clue. I remember one family, I saw a newspaper article. They didn't have money for a funeral or for a minister. So, and they weren't Catholic, but I gave them a call and I said, you know, I don't need any money. I'll just say, I'll pray with y'all. And they were happy they needed
yes.
someone to help.
Right.
This
yes.
is, these kind of things are just a help. And that's what we do. Again, I want to let people know that you can go find out more about this in two ways. One is to go to allgodsbabies.org and find out about this work and get started in your own area. And the Monday Night Disciples.org to have the prayer group that gives the basis and the source for this ministry. Thank you, gentlemen, for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And for all these other folks, thank you for coming here to be with us. And may the Lord bless you and all of you out there and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and lead all of you in all your ways by his peace. May Almighty God bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we can let you know about ministries like this and all kinds of other programs and information only because the network is brought to you by you. So please keep us in between your gas bill, electric bill, and cable bill, and we'll pay our bills too. Thank you, and God bless you.